Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits. COVID-19 Vaccine Clinic. The Ector County Health Department, 221 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled a back-to-school COVID-19 vaccine clinic for ages 6 months and older from 8 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. each Thursday through August and September. Visit tinyurl.com/54TSK5SK. Read to Felix. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Read to Felix. Therapy Dog loves to hear stories. From 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Thursdays, September 1st through October 27th, in the Children's Department. Call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Escort calling, Harleys, bikes, and classic cars and trucks are currently being called to escort the Odessa High School varsity football team in honor of Patrick Clay Rodriguez to Ratliff on September 1st. Meet at Crump Park, 500 West 10th Street. Buses leave promptly at 4:45 p.m. from OHS. Route, Golder Avenue to Yukon Road. Yukon Road East to Tabosa Avenue. North on Tabosa Avenue. East on Charles Walker Road to North Ratliff Entrance. Visit tinyurl.com/mvbuu5fr. Volunteers needed. Medical Center Hospital are in need of volunteers for its volunteer services. Applications may be found online. To apply or for more information, call 432-640-2249. Email jjjones1@echd.org or visit tinyurl.com/yfjjmyhc. Meals on Wheels of Odessa are in need of volunteers. Volunteer opportunities, drivers, kitchen staff, and Mud Bug fundraising. To sign up or for more information, call 432-333-6451. Email volunteer@mowodessa.com or visit mowodessa.com. The West Texas Food Bank is in need of volunteers. Volunteer activities include assembling pantry boxes, assembling senior boxes, assembling food to kids' backpacks, sorting and processing donated items, sorting and processing produce, distributing food in our drive-thru pantry, distributing food on a mobile outreach, and helping the garden team in the XTO Energy Innovative Gardens. All volunteers, regardless of age, are required to register through the WTF Volunteer Hub. Children must be 16 years of age or older to volunteer on their own. Children under the age of 16 must be supervised by a parent or guardian. Local News Roundup. Murderer gets 25-year sentence. A 24-year-old Odessa man was convicted of murder Wednesday and sentenced to 25 years in prison by jurors in the 358th Ector County District Court. During opening statements Monday, Assistant Ector County District Attorney William Pressure told jurors that on August 15, 2018, John Jimenez, 42, was unloading furniture with Jimmy White at White's house when Jose Alexander Carrera, 24, showed up with an unknown man, walked up to Jimenez, and shot him in the chest at close range. Prasher said the unknown man shot White twice and continued to shoot at him while White squeezed through a fence and collapsed behind it. According to Odessa American Archives, Carrera's arrest affidavit indicates Jimenez and Carrera may have been involved with the same woman. During the punishment phase of the trial, jurors learned Carrera has been accused of assaulting three different inmates while awaiting trial. Assistant Ector County District Attorney Carmen Villalobos tried the case with pressure. Philip Weldman represented Carrera, and retired Ector County District Court Judge Jay Gibson presided over the trial. Odessan gets 35 years in violence case. An Odessa man with prior felony convictions was sentenced to 35 years in prison Wednesday after being convicted of continuous violence against a family in the 244th Ector County District Court. Zachariah Lamont Jones, 51, was convicted of assaulting a woman on January 24, 2021 and February 17, 2021. According to the Ector County District Attorney's Office, the offense was a felony because both offenses happened in less than 1 year and he could have received up to life in prison due to his criminal history. According to online Ector County District Court records, Jones has criminal convictions dating back to 1991. He's been convicted on drug charges, also with evading arrest, resisting arrest, assault, family violence, criminal mischief, harassment, and driving while intoxicated. Records show an Ector County jury sentenced him to 80 years in the Texas Department of Corrections in November 2010 for violating an order of protection. It was the second time he'd been convicted of violating an order of protection. Texas Department of Public Safety online records show Jones was paroled in April 2020. Senior Trial Chief Melissa Williams handled this week's trial along with recent law school graduate Stephen Lively. Jones was represented by Joanna Curry, and Judge James Rush presided over the trial. Woman accused of aggravated assault. An Odessa woman was arrested Tuesday after her uncle told police she had attacked him with a plastic clothes hanger and threatened him with a pocket knife. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a disturbance call from the 1400 block of Doran Drive around 7 p.m. Tuesday, and when he arrived, a 53-year-old man told them Tamika Sims hit him multiple times in the arm with a hanger and then grabbed a pocket knife and threatened to stab him with it. Sims admitted to hitting her uncle. Officers saw visible white marks on his arm, and witnesses corroborated his story, the report stated. Sims was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a Class 2 felony, punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years in prison. She remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday on a $25,000 surety bond. Online records show Sims was released from jail June 19 after posting a $386 bond in an assault family violence case. Missing plate leads to arrest. A missing license plate led to the arrest Tuesday of an Odessa man on felony drug charges. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an officer spotted a Toyota Tundra without a front license plate around 8 p.m. Tuesday and pulled the driver over in the 1400 block of East 4th Street. The officer, having heard rumors, Anthony Dwayne Freeman, 44, was a drug dealer, asked him if he had anything illegal in the truck, and Freeman gave him a baggie of synthetic marijuana, the report stated. A subsequent search of the vehicle turned up a digital scale, nearly $300, and a cigarillo with synthetic marijuana. According to the report, the officer also found 3.7 grams of crack cocaine in one of Freeman's shoes and 29.2 grams of methamphetamine in the other. Freeman was arrested on suspicion of manufacture, delivery of methamphetamine more than 4 grams, less than 200 grams, and manufacture delivery of crack cocaine, more than 1 gram, less than 4 grams. The meth charge is a Class 1 felony, punishable by a prison sentence of 5 years to life, and the cocaine charge is a Class 2 felony that carries a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years. As of Wednesday afternoon, Freeman remained in the Ector County Jail, and no bail has been set.
And now we're going to read a few sports articles from the past several days, Midland and Odessa newspapers. We'll take them day by day, and we'll begin with Tuesday's Midland Reporter Telegram. Rebels defense disruptive and season opening victory. High school football legacy 47, Amarillo High 21. By Christopher Hattern. The 4-2-5 defense had a sterling debut in Legacy's season opener Friday night. The Rebels' defense allowed one touchdown, 36 yards rushing, and 79 yards passing during a 47-21 win over Amarillo High on Friday at Astound Broadband Stadium. While the score didn't appear that way, the LHS defense gave up only one touchdown, and it was on a Sandy's drive that started on the Rebel 31-yard line. Amarillo's other two scores came on kickoff returns. The Rebels, 1-0, had three interceptions from their high-performing secondary group of Canyon Moses, Damian Johnson, and Mario Serrano. LHS held a 4-0 advantage in turnovers as junior linebacker Trace Lowe recovered a fumble that was caused by defensive tackle Josiah Brown. The Rebels switched their defense from a 3-4 alignment to a 4-2-5 during the offseason after defensive coordinator Floyd White left to become the head coach at Odessa Compass Academy and Frank Malandando moved from the offensive coordinator role to head the defense. Defensively, people are going to wake up Saturday and see that we gave up 21 points and not read the newspaper article, LHS head coach Clint Hartman said Friday after the game. And forget that we had one short field. We let them score, but we had four turnovers. We hadn't had four turnovers in a game other than one time since I've been here. That was Odessa High, and I think one kid almost had all of them. But as far as stopping the run, I think we made them one-dimensional. We made them throw the football. The Rebel secondary has four experienced standouts with Moses and Johnson at the cornerback spots and Serrano and Jamar Roberson at the safety positions. Serrano led all the defenders with nine tackles. Moses scored on an 85-yard kickoff return to open the second half. Roberson recorded six tackles and had two pass breakups, and Johnson added nine tackles. Moses, a University of Arizona commit, was picked as the preseason District 2-6A defensive MVP by Dave Campbell's Texas Football. We have a lot of talent in our secondary group, Serrano said. We're probably the most talented we've been ever. Personally, I think we're the best DB group in the state of Texas. Helping out the secondary was young LHS front four that got pressure on Amarillo quarterback Mason Graham. Brown led the Rebels with two quarterback hurries, while sophomore end Brylon Zeno and junior tackle Emmanuel Liddy each had a sack. They're pretty good, aren't they? Hartman said of the secondary. I told you they're pretty good. I think it helps with the pass rush, too. That's the stuff champions are made of. There wasn't an uncontested ball all night. That's hard to do because receivers get wide open all the time, but there wasn't one uncontested ball all night. I think they understand how important it is to get better. Serrano was wearing the honorary number 37 jersey for the late Jacob Power. Power, who died in 2012, was a former team captain who was known for playing with high intensity on every snap. Hartman picks a player who best exhibits Power's competitiveness to don his number every game. It means a lot, Serrano said, to be able to get a pick and wear 37. That's probably the best honor I could give to Jacob Power. That's the best I can do. That means so much to me that I was able to do it. LHS hits the road on Friday as it meets former district rival Amarillo Tascosa, 1-0, for a 7 p.m. kickoff at Bain Schaefer Buffalo Stadium in Canyon. Player of the Week. Varner Dazzles in Season Opener by Oscar Leroy. Trinity sophomore back Jude Varner says he's a lot more comfortable this year than he was as a freshman. That could only mean bad news for opponents. In the 51-24 season opening victory over Holy Cross at Coombs Field, Varner seemed to pick up where he left off last year when he rushed for more than 2,100 yards and passed for 249 more. But this year, he might be an even better passer than he was during his All-State season. Against the Crusaders, Varner rushed for 249 yards and 4 TDs on 25 carries, completed 15 of 19 passes for 206 yards with 3 TDs and 1 interception, and then on defense he added 6 tackles. Thanks to that performance, Varner is the Reporter-Telegram's Area Football Player of the Week. You know, he's going to grow and mature more, but you didn't expect that much, said Trinity coach Greg Koch of Varner's development. I think last year he felt a little bit that he struggled. He struggled a little bit of when to run, when to throw with our bump and dump plays. He got it in that game. The receivers found openings, and they are doing a better job of catching the ball this year. Our guys are really good at sitting and finding the opening. There were also some great blocks. Jude just needed to set up blocks and break off the blocks. Varner and the Chargers actually got off to a slow start, but as the game went on, Varner said they started to be more comfortable. Obviously, there are going to be some jitters. There's going to be nervousness in the first game, Varner said. It's the first game where you're really going full speed, getting hit like that. But then you get into the groove of things. You get going, and it turned out pretty good for us. Whenever you start out, it's a big adjustment. You're trying to find the right hole a bit to hit. You're trying to find the right read on a pass. As you see it more and more, it comes back to you, and it opens the field more. The vision of the field comes back. Varner said he was especially pleased with his passing, as it is something that he worked on more in the offseason. Last year, I really didn't throw that much. We had a starting quarterback, said Varner, who attempted just 23 passes last season. But in this game, I felt I was able to put the ball in a position where only my guy can go get it. I was pleased with it, and I'm just going to keep working on improving it and see where it takes me. As for his run game, he said he felt much like last year. It really came back to me, he said. It was like freshman year again. I felt like I was reading it really well and seeing where my blockers were. I have to give a shout out to my blockers for doing a good job in this game. I couldn't do it without them. Hopefully, with the new year, I can improve on where I left off last year and keep improving. The Chargers look to keep improving in their second game when they travel to face the Lubbock Titans at 7 p.m. Thursday. Varner said the season-opening win should give his team confidence moving forward. It was a great first team win, he said. I got a cramp in the third quarter, and I knew there was going to be another guy behind me that's going to do my job as well as I would. We all have faith in each other. We all have trust. We know we have each other's backs. So we know that if one of us goes out, there's going to be another person to fill that position and do it right. It was a good way to get the season started and get us going. Missed opportunities doom Rangers and lost to Matadors. Lubbock Estacado 28, Greenwood 24. By Oscar Leroy. The Greenwood football team walked off the field at Astound Broadband Stadium on Saturday, feeling like it let one get away against Lubbock Estacado. Despite jumping out to a quick 14-0 lead, thanks in part to plays in the special teams play and defense, it wasn't enough to secure a victory. The Rangers had a few chances to put the game away, but came up short as the Matadors came back with 14 fourth-quarter points of their own for a 28-24 victory over Greenwood in the season opener for both teams. Greenwood, 0-1, twice had the ball inside the Estacado 5-yard line in the first half, but the Rangers turned it over on downs the first time, then they missed a 21-yard field goal try. That helped to give Estacado an opportunity to come back and tie the game at 14-all at the half. It was huge not to do that early on, Greenwood coach Rusty Purser said. You've got to expect better out of us. We didn't execute down there, and they did a heck of a job bringing the house on us, and we didn't pick it up. It cost us. Injuries hurt us a little bit. We got some kids hurt early, and that threw some things off. That's not really an excuse. It just means that more guys that have got to step up into those roles. In addition to four turnovers, the Rangers turned the ball over on downs two other times in Estacado territory. Knowing that the offense could move the ball well at times and then see it stall at other times is what frustrated Purser. Greenwood outgained Estacado 299-254, thanks in part to the rushing of Aaron Fikes and Tylan Booker, who combined for 183 yards and two TDs, but lost the turnover battle 4-2. "It was really hit and miss," said Purser about his offense. "That's kind of what the scrimmages have been like. When things are going good and clicking, it looks really smooth. But if we have adversity, like this one, when they're bringing people in our faces, they're playing some man coverage and causing us difficulty, we're not executing really well in those situations." Purser said while the offense had its opportunities to put the game away, so did the defense. It was tough to stop Estacado's four-star running back recruit, Bobby Ross, who churned out 131 yards on 22 carries. And when Ross wasn't hurting the Rangers, the Matadors got a big-time TD catch in the end zone from 6'3" Devoyed Boyd, which gave Estacado the lead for good with 1:31 remaining. "When he needed it, he was a load," Purser said of Ross. "I thought they did a really good job of using what they had and being able to execute late in this game. The receiver that caught the ball in the end zone did a tremendous job. It was a great ball thrown. And then he goes up and makes a great catch. It's disappointing for us, but I think they had something to do with that as well." Greenwood will look to bounce back at 7 p.m. Friday when it travels to face new program Canyon West Plains. "We've got to get better," Purser said. "We were probably feeling pretty comfortable, but we've got to get back to work and get ready for next week." Now, being that the Tuesday edition of the Odessa American didn't have any local sports stories, we'll move on to Wednesday. And again, first leading with the Midland Reporter Telegram. High school football. Residents rally behind MHS's Perez, by Christopher Hattern. The Midland High football program, its supporters, and the Tall City community have been rallying behind Bulldogs senior linebacker LeBrian Perez. Perez was recently diagnosed with leukemia and is staying with his family in the Metroplex to undergo treatment. The MHS Football Booster Club has been raising money to help cover Perez's medical expenses and costs associated with his treatment. Perez's younger brother, Briley, is a junior running back on the Bulldogs, and his older brother, Ryan Zay, just graduated from MHS and is a freshman receiver at Wayland Baptist University. "They're a special family to the Bulldogs," Bulldogs head coach Thad Fortune said. "The team is rallying behind them. The same thing with the community, the Bulldog community, rallying behind them. We want to keep doing that and keep lifting him up in our prayers. We know he'll be back, and we're ready for him to get back with us." Perez was going to be a starting outside linebacker for MHS this season. "He started having some issues toward the end of summer," Fortune said. "He couldn't figure out what was wrong. You always think it's normal football stuff. As they get going, after tests, these doctors know what they're doing. They saw some things that concern them. He was diagnosed with leukemia. He is receiving treatment in Dallas. I think he's doing a great job. It's going well. It's tough news for our football team." Fortune said Perez's situation is a reminder that there's more to life than football. He has gained perspective about what's truly important in life. Fortune said it's also a reminder for his players to seize the day and take advantage of every opportunity that life affords you. "It's a tough thing for our kids," Fortune said. "It's tough for the coaching staff," when I told the coaching staff. "Nobody is prepared for that. Nobody knows how to handle it. But we have hopefully been able to encourage LeBrian with videos and phone calls. Hopefully he feels encouraged. He knows that we are with him. The Midland High community is definitely in his corner as well." MHS beat El Paso Montwood 56-28 in its season opener on the road last Friday. The Bulldogs host Lubbock Coronado in their home opener at 7 p.m. Friday at Astound Broadband Stadium. "LeBrian would rather be here than where he's at," Fortune said. "That's for dang sure. We need not to take it for granted and do our best." Fortune said people should contact the Midland High Football Booster Club on Facebook if they're interested in helping Perez and his family with medical expenses. Private School Report. Mustangs Overcome Adversity in Victory, by Oscar Leroy. The Midland Christian football team had to overcome some adversity for its first football game of the season. The Mustangs lost starting quarterback Blake Pruitt to a shoulder injury, and then El Paso Americas came back from a 16-0 deficit to force overtime. But the Mustangs rallied around sophomore quarterback Avery Morgan and then got to score and stop they needed in double overtime for a 24-16 road victory. "It was good to pull out that kind of a win," said MCS coach Chris Cunningham, who picked up his first win with the Mustangs. "We got up on them, and then we let them get back in the game. But it was good to see our kids finish strong." Our defense pretty much dominated the entire game. There were a couple of series, one before the end of the third quarter, and then one in the fourth when we didn't play the option very well, and they scored and tied it up. Cunningham said the offense was also inconsistent throughout the night, and he said that his team left a lot of points off the table. He said on one drive, the Mustangs got down to the Americas' one-yard line, but fumbled the ball away. The Mustangs also had to make a change at quarterback when Pruitt had to leave with an injured shoulder. But fortunately for MCS, Morgan stepped up and finished with a good game, connecting on 10 of 18 passes for 153 yards, and also rushing for a one-yard TD run and throwing a two-point conversion pass to Carson Hufford in the second overtime. "He did a good job, and I was really proud of him," said Cunningham of Morgan. "He did a good job of getting himself ready, being cool, and understanding what he had to do." Cunningham said Pruitt's injury is not serious, but he will be held out of this week's game at Regent School of Austin as a precaution. Cunningham said the win will serve as a good reference point for his team if it has to respond to more adversity down the road. "We very well could be in that situation again," he said. "I would rather have gotten it done sooner than we did, but we responded. Anytime you go through those types of challenges, it prepares your kids." The Mustangs will continue to be road warriors this week as they go to Austin on Friday to play the Knights, 1-0, who are coming off a 35-20 victory over San Antonio Central Catholic. MCS knocked off Central Catholic in last year's TAPS Division I state semifinal round. Trinity has solid debut to season. Despite a slow start, the Trinity football team got an impressive 51-24 victory over Holy Cross to start the season. Trinity coach Greg Koch said his team has ball handling issues early, but once they got on a roll, they were up by as much as 37-6. "They fought through some adversity for the first game," said Koch of his players. "We wanted to throw the ball a little more this year, and we did with a lot of success. I'm really happy with the performance. With the heat and the numbers we have, we also had a little bit of cramp issue, but we were able to fight through that, and it was good to see." Koch said Holy Cross came out and did some good things defensively early as the Crusaders concentrated on stopping the run. However, offensive coordinator Thomas LaFerrero adjusted, and the Chargers were able to throw some short passes and run pass option plays to open things up. The Chargers also got a huge game out of sophomore back and area player of the week, Jude Varner, who combined for over 400 yards, both passing and running with the ball, and 7 TDs. Koch added receivers Lincoln Lewis and Monty Campbell also did a good job catching the ball. Koch said his team will look to improve when they play the Lubbock Titans at Mustang Stadium at 7 p.m. Friday. "We're just going to go out and try to keep moving forward," he said. "We're going to get better each week, and that's the key to it. We also need to handle the ball better than we did this last week." Area football notebook. Greenwood looks to get swagger back this week against Canyon, by Oscar Leroy. The Greenwood football team was feeling good about itself going into the season opener against Lubbock Estacado on Saturday afternoon. After a 28-24 loss at Estown Stadium, the Rangers were left humbled and looking for answers. The Rangers, 0-1, will look to get some of their confidence back when they travel to Canyon to face first-year program West Plains, 0-1, at 7 p.m. Friday. "The key is to stay healthy and get our confidence back," Greenwood coach Rusty Purser said. "Maybe we were feeling too overconfident going into the game against Estacado. We want to get a little of the swagger back." If the Rangers want to bounce back this week, Purser said they must be more consistent on both sides of the ball. The offense didn't make enough plays to put the game away after jumping to a 14-0 lead, and the defense didn't make enough stops to seal the victory. We had been playing really good defense, Purser said. In the scrimmages, we had not given up any true explosive plays. Then against Estacado, we had two huge drives of 98, 99 yards go against us, and they score. Then they had that drive late in the game to win it. Those were really tough on us. Offensively, it was feast or famine. We had two possessions inside the 10 where we didn't score. We have to score on those opportunities. Purser said that despite the loss, it's an opportunity for his team to learn from it so it won't cost it down the road. The game answered a lot of questions for us, Purser said. As I told the kids, yes, it's disappointing to lose, but I would rather that it expose some things for us in week one than get down to Graham in week 9 in district play and expose things then. Overall, I think we grew from the game. Purser said the Rangers are nursing some injuries from the game as an offensive lineman went out with an ankle injury. Defensive lineman Alex Estrado suffered a dislocated shoulder, and wide receiver defensive back Zane Ogle is still recovering from an off-season non-athletic injury. Andrews's Harvey enjoys first win. Andrews's first-year head coach Tom Harvey said, "It's never easy following someone who was as well-respected as Ralph Mason." Harvey said Mason, the former coach of the Mustangs, who retired at the end of the last school year, was on hand to support his former assistant and the Mustangs on Friday against Canyon Randall. And Harvey was more than happy to deliver an 11-7 season-opening victory to not only the former head coach, but to a big crowd at the Mustang Bowl. "It was very gratifying just because you're following a legend," Harvey said. "If you don't win, people may immediately start questioning things. But there was Coach Mason talking to us 10 minutes before the game, and then he was in the stands as the Mustangs' biggest fan." Beating Randall certainly wasn't easy, as Harvey had told his players to prepare for it to be a one-touchdown game. While the defenses took center stage, Harvey said he had to give credit to his offense for coming up big in crucial moments of the game. "With about 5 minutes left in the game, the offense got the ball at our own 10, and they not only were able to move the ball, but managed the clock really well to seal the victory," Harvey says. As expected, the Mustang veteran defense got after it and held the Raiders to 167 total yards. Defensive coordinator Jason Richards and his staff did an outstanding job preparing a good game plan, Harvey said. "They know that we have some good defensive players, and we have a lot of three-year starters. And in one case, linebacker Luis Cervantes, we have a four-year starter. It was a buy-in to keep our defensive schemes from last year so the kids can play hard and play fast." The Mustangs will look to stay undefeated when they go to face Monahans 0-1 at 7 p.m. Friday, and another former Andrews assistant in Lobos head coach Fred Staw. "Coach Staw is a good friend of mine, and we're going to have to put our friendship aside for a couple of hours," Harvey said. "Hopefully we can come out of there with a win, and then we can wish them great success the rest of the season." Big Spring aims to clean up things. Big Spring coach Cannon McWilliams liked the way his offense was able to move the ball. He would just like to see his Steers finish better. Turnovers, injuries, and other mistakes cost the Steers in a 27-20 loss to Pampa in the season opener. "We had a lot of yards, but we had to get points," McWilliams said. "It's the little things that hurt us. We have to cut down on the penalties, and we need better execution inside the 10. We had the ball a couple of times inside their 10-yard line, and we came away without points." The Steers, 0-1, outgained Pampa 452-381 with 407 yards coming from quarterback Gavin Padron's passing. McWilliams said he hopes the loss will serve as a learning experience for his team as it prepares to face Lubbock High 1-0, a 41-8 winner over El Paso Socorro. Stanton unveils new offense. The Stanton football team showed more of a passing game than it has in recent years in a 33-8 season-opening victory over Grape Creek on Friday. Sophomore Jake Benedict, making his first varsity start, completed 10 of 18 passes for 126 yards and 3 TDs in the win. Benedict's passing complemented a solid team rushing performance of 148 yards on 23 attempts. "I like how we played. It was nice to score quickly," Hogan said. "It was good to mix both the pass and the run. We've worked hard on the passing game, and we're just going to take whatever the defense gives us." Hogan said the addition of a passing game has helped to open things up on offense. He said Benedict did a good job making his throws when he needed, made smart decisions, and did a good job on defense at the safety position. Hogan said his team must cut down on the penalties and be a little bit more disciplined later in the game. "We got a little sloppy in the second half, and we just needed to tighten some things up," he said. Stanton, 1-0, next traveled to face Merkle, 0-1, on Friday. Bearcats knock off ranked Valley. Number 5-ranked Garden City survived the first big test of the season with a come-from-behind 30-24 victory over then-number 9 Valley in the Jayton Gridiron Classic. The Bearcats were down 26-14 at the half before they rallied for 16 fourth-quarter points. "It was good to see the kids stick with it," Garden City coach Jeff Jones said. "They were still believing in the game plan late in the second half, and we were able to come out with the victory." Jones said the team's passing game stepped up at the right time. Senior quarterback Logan Seidenberger completed 14 of 24 passes for 225 yards and 3 TDs, including the game-winning 17-yard TD pass to Mason Walker with 1 minute left. Jones added the defense also stepped up to help set up the comeback. "The defense played hard," Jones said. "Valley came out with a good scheme, and they hurt us with some things, but Coach Ollie Wilburn made some great adjustments, and the kids made some plays." Garden City, 1-0, next hosts Menard, 1-0, on Friday. Now we'll move to the Odessa American sports section Wednesday, August 31st. High school football. Broncos defense needs to catch up. Forced Plainsmen to be one-dimensional. The Odessa High defense is a work in progress. Despite the large yardage allowed to Lubbock Monterey in the season opener last week, the Broncos are progressing. Odessa High effectively shut down the Plainsmen's running attack, allowing just 70 yards on 13 carries. It was through the air that Lubbock Monterey did the damage, most of it in the game's final 3 minutes. Plainsmen's quarterback, DJ Williams, passed for 325 yards on the night, with 235 of those to wide receiver Hunter Hebrew. Hebrew made a 37-yard catch on fourth down to keep Lubbock Monterey's opening drive of the game alive and eventually set up a touchdown. He then was able to outjump a pair of Broncos defenders down the middle of the field for what would become a 64-yard touchdown pass that would tie the game 36-36 with 3:04 to play. Then on the final play of regulation, he caught a 47-yard pass before being tackled. Erase the big plays and the Broncos allow less than 200 yards on the night and win comfortably. Odessa High coach Dusty Ortiz wanted his defensive line to set the tone this season to become the heart and soul of that unit, and it stepped up on opening night. Now the Broncos need to have the rest of the defense get up to speed. Record book. It was a foregone conclusion that junior wide receiver Ivan Carrion was going to set the school's career receiving yardage mark at some point against the Plainsmen. He came into the game with 77 receptions for 1,114 yards a season ago and needed just 15 yards to break the yardage mark and 7 catches for the career reception mark. Why wait? Carrion's first catch of the night was a 40-yard crossing pattern for a touchdown with 6:30 remaining to play in the first quarter to break the mark. His second catch of the night was a highlight reel catch and run from the left sideline across the field and then down the right sideline to cap a 72-yard scoring play from quarterback Jaylian Jones with 2:05 remaining in the opening quarter. Carrion finished with 4 catches for 131 yards and the 2 scores. He needs just 3 catches this week against El Paso Americas to break the career mark of 83 set by Julian Galindo from 2016 to 2018 and Gabriel Rodriguez 2007 to 09. Jones also entered the record book as one of just five Broncos quarterbacks to be responsible for six touchdowns in a game after he passed for four and rushed for two others against Lubbock Monterey. Kenneth White, 1954 against Borger, Derek Teagarden, 2008 against Amarillo High, Nick Adams, 2015 against Lubbock Monterey, and Diego Cervantes, 2021 against Lubbock Coronado are the others. Weather woes. With the recent rain days, it's hit or miss for the Broncos on being able to get out onto Coleman Field to practice, especially as these storms have also brought lightning with them. That puts Odessa High inside its field house to work out. Not the most desirable way to get things done, as there is barely enough room for a walkthrough and certainly no chance to work on tackling. Lower level. The Broncos JV and freshman teams combined for a 1-2 mark last week, with no score reported for the JV Red Squad against Lubbock Monterey. The JV White team fell to Midland High 22-16, while the freshman Red team lost to Lubbock Monterey 44-18. The freshman White squad salvaged the week with a 29-0 victory against Lubbock Monterey. All four teams will face El Paso Americas on Wednesday, beginning at 5 p.m. for the freshman games and 6:30 p.m. for the JV contests. Now we'll switch to the Thursday newspapers, beginning with the MRT. LHS report. Hartman expects number 5 Tascosa to test Rebels again, by Christopher Hattern. Legacy head coach Clint Hartman is expecting Amarillo Tascosa to bring out the best of his football team this Friday in Canyon. LHS 1-0 meets Tascosa 1-0, the number 5 ranked team in Class 5A Division 1, for a 7 p.m. kickoff at Bain Schaefer Buffalo Stadium in Canyon. In the 2021 meeting, Tascosa held a 48-37 lead late in the fourth quarter before Legacy rallied for a 51-48 victory in a thriller. Both teams have enjoyed recent success, as LHS has claimed a share of the district title in four consecutive years, while Tascosa has four 10-win seasons in the last 5 years. Hartman says he has a great deal of respect for Tascosa head coach Ken Plunk, who was in his 14th season with his program that runs a triple option offense. As a coach, you're excited because they're going to give you something you haven't seen, and you better be able to adjust to it, or they are going to get a score out of it, Hartman said, of coaching against Plunk, which he likens to a game of chess. Winning is fragile. If you don't make that adjustment, it could be a bad night. It's a fun challenge between good coaches. Tascosa cruised to a 35-7 win over Amarillo Palo Dura in last week's opener. Tascosa is led by senior defensive end Avian Carter, a 6'6", 250-pounder who is committed to TCU and rated as a 4-star recruit by Rivals. "Every year we play these guys, it's a war," Hartman said. "Every game has been within 14 points. I expect nothing different. You always hope that you don't have to get in one of those, but your team has to get in those to understand how to win." Legacy impressed on both sides of the football during a 47-21 win over Amarillo High to open the 2022 season last Friday. LHS junior Marcos Davila threw for 320 yards and 5 TD passes, while the Rebel defense held the Sandies to 115 total yards and forced 4 turnovers. Hartman said afterwards that Davila's first half performance was equal to the best quarterback experiences he's ever seen, which included facing Super Bowl champion Nick Foles when he suited up for Austin Westlake. While there were plenty of positives in the opener, the Rebels had their woes too. The LHS special teams unit allowed the Sandies to return 2 kickoffs for touchdowns, and a poor punt allowed Amarillo High to start one of their drives at the Rebels' 31-yard line, setting up the only touchdown scored against the LHS defense. "We've got to clean up special teams," Hartman said. "We know that. I think partially it was a lot of those kids on special teams were on the JV last year, and they never played on Friday nights. So their effort is like a Thursday night when they're jogging down there instead of sprinting down there." Even though the Rebels gained 522 total yards for the game, the offense converted 1 first down on 3 offensive possessions in the third quarter, and it had 2 3 and outs. "We didn't play very good in the second half on offense," Hartman said. We had mostly self-inflicted wounds. It was the same plays that worked in the first half. Now it's the execution of those plays. Football is a great game. You've got to get 11 guys doing everything right to have a chance to be successful, and I feel good about that. And now, moving across town, MHS report. Bulldogs' offensive showing was historic in opener, by Christopher Hattern. The Midland High offense played at such a high level during its football season opener that it toppled one 66-year-old record and matched another one from the 1950s. The Bulldogs shattered the program's single-game rushing record by compiling 558 yards on the ground during a 56-28 rout of El Paso-Montwood on the road last Friday. The performance wiped out the previous program record of 479 rushing yards, which the Bulldogs gained during a 46-0 shutout of Big Spring in 1956. That 1956 team was coached by the immortal Audrey Gill during a time when Elvis Presley's Hound Dog was near the top of the charts. MHS 1-0 had two runners eclipse the 100-yard mark, as Briley Perez coached for 155 yards and three touchdowns on 17 carries, while Mekki McCoy gained 131 yards and scored three times on nine attempts. "We had a great day running the ball," Bulldogs head coach Thad Fortune said. "Of course, 558 rushing yards, nobody plans on doing something like that." MHS also tied the single-game record for most total offense with 632 total yards. That feat was first accomplished by the Bulldogs during their 61-19 win over Fort Worth Polytechnic in 1952. That 1952 team was coached by MHS legend Thurman Tugboat Jones. Offensive line coach Paul Martinez and the O-line did a phenomenal job, and then running backs coach Kirk Thurman had the backs ready to play, Fortune said. "We got some good production from all three of our running backs. Elijah McCoy, some of his numbers went down as receiving yards because of a little jet sweep deal. It was pretty much a run play. We were able to get them going, and Mekki McCoy started it off on that first drive with a long run of 75 yards. It was just good to see that we didn't let up. They were never really relaxed. We went out every series and executed." The Bulldogs also carved up the Rams 0-1 with explosive plays as sophomore Storman Bridges scored on a 57-yard run and hauled in a 41-yard TD pass from Jake Cunningham. Perez had a long run of 43 yards, and Elijah McCoy's longest run was 30. Elijah McCoy amassed 81 rushing yards on only five carries. "It just opens everything else up," Fortune said of the long plays. "We had a play-action touchdown. We missed a touchdown on another double pass that we should have hit. Anytime that you can run the ball that effectively, and when you have chunk plays with it too, it makes your margin for error smaller. You don't have to be as perfect with every play call." MHS will face Lubbock Coronado, 1-0, in its home opener at 7 p.m. Friday at Astown Broadband Stadium. The Mustangs, a Class 5A Division I school, picked up an impressive win last week when they beat Wolfert Friendship 20-14. Friendship is Midland High's district rival. The Coronado defense limited the Tigers to only 81 yards rushing and 164 yards passing. The Mustangs beat MHS 42-17 during a 2021 meeting in Lubbock. "They are really good," Fortune said of the Mustangs. "I think they play athletic. They're fast. They play physical. They're a fun team to watch play. They play with a lot of energy and a lot of passion, so we've got to match that, and it's our home opener. We've got to be ready to come. I don't want us to come out flat. We've got to come out with great energy and joy and be ready because they've shown they're going to play hard for four quarters." And now from the Odessa American sports page for Thursday, September 1st. High school football notebook. Panthers defense dominant in season opener. Allowed fewer than 50 yards of offense during victory. When Permian head coach Jeff Ellison talks about the Panthers defensive unit, speed, intensity, and toughness typically are some of the first words he uses. He might want to add dominating, after the season-opening performance against Abilene High. With several new pieces in place, the Panthers held the host Eagles in check, allowing just 49 yards of total offense and three first downs. Really, two first downs, as a Permian penalty kept one Abilene High drive alive. The Eagles were forced to settle for a field goal late in the first half after a long interception return, and that was the highlight of the night offensively. The 49 yards isn't the fewest allowed by the Panthers. They held Del Rio to minus 10 yards of total offense in 2000. The three first downs were close to a program best, with the 1973 and 1991 Permian teams blanking Fort Worth Western Hills, 1973, and Abilene High, 1991. The Panthers' defenders, however, need to look forward and forget about last week as they open their home schedule with the game against Waco Midway at 7 p.m. Friday at Ratliff Stadium. Midway gained nearly 300 yards last week in a 31-14 loss to Mansfield. Last year, Permian defeated Waco Midway 57-41 in Waco in the first meetings of the teams. Quarterback Rodney Hall completed 9 of 17 passes for 247 yards and 3 touchdowns in the contest, along with rushing for 132 yards on 16 carries. Hall is back and did a workmanlike job in last week's victory, passing for one score in the final minute of the first half to give Permian the lead for good and rushing for another to cap the scoring in the third. Flying to the ball. The Panthers finished with 47 tackles on the night against Abilene High, with Jace Gilliam leading the team with 8, including 2 tackles for loss. Kaysen Clinton finished with 6 stops, while Matthew Avila and Bryce Woody each had 5. Lower level. The Permian JV Black and JV White squads will be on the road Thursday at San Angelo Central with a kickoff of the JV Black game scheduled for 5 p.m. The freshman white and freshman black teams will also face the Bobcats, but on the fields adjacent to the Ratliff Softball Complex, beginning at 5 p.m. Last week, the JV squad split their contests with Abilene High. JV White came away with a 22-0 victory, while JV Black lost 20-16 to the Eagles.
Prostate cancer med decreases libido. Dear Dr. Roach, my romantic partner of 1 year, a 51-year-old male, is being treated for prostate cancer with Eligard. He received a second injection 2 months ago. I am satisfied with our level of sexual intimacy, even though it has not included penetration. He is frustrated that his sexual desire has decreased. This is not about an erection per se. I am willing to be patient. He said his doctor told him he will feel closer to his normal self within a year. Is this typical for a cancer patient treated with Eligard? Could his recovery to normal hormone levels take longer than a year? LR. Answer. The goal of androgen deprivation therapy with a drug like Luprolide, Lupron, or Eligard is to lower the blood testosterone and decrease stimulus for growth in prostate cancer and other testosterone-sensitive cancers. Sexual side effects are very common, and most men will have a decrease in libido as well as erectile dysfunction. Psychologically, many men, like your partner, find the loss of libido very difficult to deal with. Most men do have an increase in their testosterone levels after treatment, and this usually means an increase in libido, although it may never reach the level it was before treatment. Some men will continue to have improvements in their libido and erectile function even 2 years after treatment. I recommend both partners in a couple have counseling about sexual issues. There are many concerns beyond just loss of testosterone. Changes in body image and fear of recurrence both can cause men to have sexual troubles. A therapist experienced in treatment with cancer and cancer treatment can be very helpful. Some men can be treated with testosterone if their prostate cancer is thought to be in remission, but this is only appropriate for some men and must be discussed with a treating physician, urologist, or oncologist.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, September 1st. Family failure refuses to enable siblings' behavior. Dear Abby, I am the oldest of three. We grew up in an abusive alcoholic family. I'm considered the failure of the family because I don't drink. I graduated from college, worked full-time, got married, and have a pretty stable life. Both of my younger siblings drink and use drugs, and their lives are in constant turmoil. The youngest sibling has mentioned they will need to move by the end of this month, and their current job has not paid them for several weeks. I dread that they will ask to stay at my house soon, which I cannot allow because of the drinking and drug use. I know they will be upset that they can't stay with me. How do I protect my peace without feeling like I'm making my sibling homeless? Signed, Bad Sister in California. Dear Bad Sister, your reason for not wanting to host your substance-using sibling is sensible. State it kindly and clearly, and do not feel guilty about it. You won't be making your sibling homeless. Unless your sibling is friendless, which I doubt, they will find another place to crash, I assure you. Dear Abby, my father recently passed from cancer. He was divorced from Mom, but she helped take care of him and make him happy in his last year of life. I'm having the baby blues, a two-month-old, and grieving at the same time. My mother has now announced she plans to take a vacation with her best friend. I think it's too soon, and I told her that. Am I wrong for feeling this way and trying to stop her from going? But at the same time, I know she deserves this vacation. I'm so confused. Please help. Signed, Right or Wrong in Arizona. Dear Right or Wrong, allow me to offer my sympathy for the loss of your dad. Considering the recent changes in your life, that you need your mother is understandable. However, your mother needing a break at this point is also understandable, so please let her go. As you should know, your baby blues may be happening because of the abrupt hormonal changes your body is experiencing after the birth of your child. Discuss your emotions with your doctor, because there may be a medical solution for your situation. Please don't wait. Dear Abby, please don't think I'm misogynistic, but whenever I see females, they're constantly talking or scrolling on their cell phones. It seems like it is all they do. They don't seem to be interested in anything except their darn phones. They have no personalities. They have no sex drive. They're not even interested in men. Some even seem to lose their interest in shopping, which we know is a female addiction. It's not cute, it's not normal, and it's not sociable. In fact, it's bizarre and weird. Is there one halfway normal female left on this earth, or should I move to another planet? Signed, Ready to Bail in New Jersey. Dear Reddy, have you heard that men are from Mars? Your space shuttle departs in 20 minutes. It's a one-way trip. Safe travels. P.S. I'm not calling you misogynistic, but it will be interesting to see what my readers call you. Stay tuned.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.